which keeps it really tight and terse, Jesus didn't walk along, just walk along and say, you, I want you, and they just came and followed him. It is most likely that what happened is Jesus knew these men long before in community, and in discernment decided who it was that he would call to be his disciple. And so these are two scriptures from two different passages. One just tells about the calling of his close friends, and the other just gives us the list of the disciples that he chose.
Our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, and Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. These are stories from our Holy Scripture. Thanks be to God.
How do you make friends? How do you make friends? Usually you can't just walk along and call somebody and say, "Come on, you can be my friend." But it's a vitally important question for us. So let that sit with you for a minute. How do we make friends? When the worship team and I discussed a couple of weeks ago some themes that might be relevant for this season of Epiphany and the state we're in these days, this is one of the themes that came up: staying grounded in turbulent times. Staying grounded in turbulent times. Most of us will agree that we're in turbulent times. So much is uncertain and up in the air right now, and it's more important than ever to stay grounded when we're anxious and fearful about the future. Now, I can say a lot of things about staying grounded. I preach about them regularly. Last week, I talked about making good, solid choices, about staying connected to God through prayer and worship, connecting to nature, just breathing, exercise, take up meditation or yoga. And these are all important things to help us stay grounded, and we try to talk about them frequently. But this week, I realized that the single biggest factor to staying grounded in our lives is the community of people we build around us, and most particularly, the close friendships that we cultivate. By close friendships, I mean those people who will show up at our door when something difficult happens in our lives. The ones who won't shy away when we do that ugly cry, or will let us rail against life and allow us to be angry at times and out of sorts and show up in our house coat at the door. These are the people to whom we can pour out our hearts, our pain, our frustrations, our joys, and who will be able to do the same for us. Friendship is always mutual. Our closest relationships will be the single greatest factor to our well-being in turbulent times. That is, our friends. And not to minimize, of course, other relationships, partners will support us, of course, through life when we have them, and they're very important to it. Yet they're not enough, because sometimes what's happening is either it's our partner who's going through the tough time or we're going through it together and they can't be our support. Children and parents certainly can support us, or siblings when you're on good terms with them. Not all people are. But it's often too much to expect our children or parents to support us through life's challenges. Our church community can be here for us if we have been involved in the community in a significant way and built up relationships in that community. We can also get professional help when we need it, and I think that's important for all of us to do. Friendships, however, true friendships are the single greatest buffer and grounding force when the world gets really hard to handle, because built into good friendships is the unspoken agreement that we will help to bear each other's loads, and by choice, not because we have to. Jesus got this. Consider this. His whole ministry and life was invested in his friends. He calls specific people to come with him on his journey so that he could share his life with them and they could share their lives with him, so that they could spend quality time with him and engage in his ministry, know what he was about and what he did, so that he could model and teach everything that he believed, everything he knew about God, so that he could do this with his friends. And not a lot of people, just a select few. If he had gone about the country solo, teaching, healing, and challenging crowds, nothing would have come of his ministry. Nothing. No one would have been there to carry it on. They wouldn't have been taught and taken on his lifestyle like his friends did. They would not have caught his passion. They would not have had his vision of God or of the world God desired. It was his friends, his disciples, the ones he called friends, who were invested in his life and the legacy that he wanted to carry on. His friends. Friendship was Jesus' plan for ministry and for life. It was the ones he called friends who supported him to the end and carried on what he had started. Not the religious system. Not his family, not the crowds who flocked to them to him to be healed or to learn from him. His friends were the strength and the reason he carried on and the reason that we are still following him today. Friends are our support, our strength when we have nothing left, our encouragers and hopefully challengers when we get off track. They are the people that we chose to be in our lives so we can lean on them and trust them as they can with us. They check in on us when we're down. They laugh at us when we're silly. They forgive us when we're idiots. They celebrate with us when something good happens in our lives. Friendship is the most solid fabric of a healthy society. John Evelyn, an 18th century writer, said that friendship is the golden thread that ties the heart of all the world. Friendship is the golden thread that ties the heart of all the world. We need friends in order to be grounded and be supported through turbulent times. Several years ago, when I was quite ill, it was my friends who got me through, no question. They took me to appointments, they fed me, visited me in hospital, cleaned my house, stayed overnight, and most importantly, they visited or called regularly to check on me. I don't know if I would still be here today without my friends. I don't know. Often when I see people coming in for assistance from the Benevolent Fund, probably the only reason they have to come to the church is because they have a weak or non-existent support system to help them. So when a major traumatic event knocks their feet from out under them, they have few people to go to for assistance. Often they have maxed out all the support they can from their family if they have any kind of relationship with their family. And they have very little else to fall back on. Very little community. Friends are essential to weathering the storms of life and to be grounded in turbulent times. So how How do we make friends? I don't mean the friends on our social media pages or the people we hang out with regularly in clubs or groups or that sort of thing. They won't come and stay with us overnight. They won't have skin on. They won't feed us, visit us. I mean the people that we can have meals with and laugh with and cry with and share our hopes and fears with. People who truly care about our well-being and will take the time to care for us when we really need it. It's not as easy as it used to be. And as we get older, it's even harder to make new friends. It's called making friends for a reason, though. It takes intention and work. And maybe that's why people are reluctant to put in the effort these days. It's hard to make new friends. In generations past, there weren't the distractions and the technology that actually keep us separated today. There wasn't the isolation that has become all too common for a lot of people these days. Communities met together and friendships were formed within the community. People didn't move around as much, so they formed lasting friendships. People depended on each other. And when hard times came, as they inevitably do for everyone, people stepped up to help their neighbors and friends because they knew and they loved each other. They didn't always get along, but they loved each other. You had to make an effort in the past to remain isolated. The opposite is true today. We have to work to be in community and relationship. We have to invest in them. And we have, to a great degree, lost the art of listening and meaningful conversation. Our attention spans are getting shorter. We spend too much time mindlessly distracting ourselves and just getting busy with whatever. We tend to think individually. We tend to think that we are self-sufficient and quite independent, and we don't think we need other people until something bad happens and we need support. Bad things do happen. Tragedies are hitting more and more different communities. We need that kind of help to stay sane and grounded, and that's why friends are essential to our well-being and our health. How do we make friends? Well, we have to put ourselves out there. We have to get involved. We have to meet people. We have to ask people to go for a coffee or lunch, join different groups, invite people into our lives. And what does that take? It takes a strong back, soft front, and wild heart. Says Joan Halifax on there. It's actually Brené Brown who came up with that, sociologist Brené Brown. To have a strong back is to be a person of integrity and courage. It means being true to who you are and what you stand for, being a solid person. That's what makes a good friend. It allows you to live by your values, to be reliable, and to keep your word. This is really important to friendship, to follow through on what you say. To have friends, you have to be a friend. Develop a strong back. Be a person you would like to have as a friend. And then take the initiative. Get out there. If you have a soft front, this is harder for us. You are willing to be vulnerable in front of others. To let people into your heart, into your life. To be your full self with others, with all of your strengths as well as your weaknesses. You're willing to admit that you're not perfect and don't always have it together. And we're not so good at this. We don't want to be vulnerable. Yet vulnerability is such a great strength. Being honest with ourselves. It means we know ourselves and accept ourselves for who we are, warts and all. A vulnerable person is one of the most deeply likable people you ever meet because they're humble. They have a sense of humor about themselves. They don't take themselves too seriously. They know that they fail and they can accept their failures. The vulnerability I'm not talking about is the vulnerability of neediness, but the vulnerability of honesty and acceptance. Then the person with the wild heart is the one who's willing to take risks, to dream of new possibilities, to be both tough and tender, kind and strong, A wild-hearted person seeks new adventures and experiences and is willing to put themselves out there, even if they get hurt. A wild-hearted person is able to stand up for what they believe, even when it's scary and other people criticize them. They know pain, and they also know joy. They fully experience life as it is, a wild-hearted person, the good and the bad, and fight for what is right and good, including for themselves. To make friends is to take risks, to live with integrity, and be vulnerable, opening our hearts to one another. It's hard, and it's worth it. Friendship is one of the most grounding forces in the world. It makes people strong and resilient. If we lose the art of friendship, we will lose the fabric of what makes living worthwhile. It will fracture communities, and it will weaken societies if we do not have friends. Jesus modeled that kind of deep friendship that not only supported his ministry and himself personally, but was ultimately the catalyst for a movement that changed the world, all based on the model of sharing his message through those he loved. How are your friendships? Do they need a little work? Start with making a friend of Jesus. Then look for friends with skin on who are going to support you through the good and bad of your life. To be grounded in this unpredictable world, we need to have people around us. I'm just going to put a little note out for gentlemen, for men. Sometimes men aren't quite as inclined to go out and make those kind of deep friendships, to be vulnerable in front of other men. It's vitally important to make those connections. I will say that more and more there are women who are coming in too for Benevolent Fund who don't have a community as well. Lots of women are losing those connections as well. Take a risk. Put yourselves out there. Do the work. And it does take intention, effort, and time. But if you want your life to be meaningful and rich, one of the best things you can do is invest in friends, because the dividends are amazing. Let's take a moment for reflection.